welcome to True Wealth, your tangible assets advisor. I'm Kevin, the host. True Wealth is brought to you by Coins Plus in Spokane, Washington. Just kidding. Coins Plus is your full-service rare coin and precious metals broker-dealer depository service. What do we call? I mean, we call ourselves the name you can trust, Coins Plus, wealth and capital preservation specialist. We have precious metals portfolio experts buying and selling silver and gold, buying and selling rare coins, buying and selling coins and collections. We have the highest rated depository service privately held in the U.S., Western Unit U.S. We're always buying scrap gold, jewelry, and diamonds. We're a high volume, low margin dealer. Honesty, integrity, and professionalism is our motto. But we're big gold buyers. We're big gold sellers. We do, you know, precious metals. You know who we are. So basically, what's all going on around there? I don't know. You know, checking the news. It's always kind of the same thing. I used to try to touch on the news a little bit, and I'm not so sure anymore what to do. I've got some good information, I think, for the show that I want to get into here pretty quick. But we always seem to have, you know, the same old stuff. I guess I try to watch the news, folks. It's getting so hard. I mean, for those of you who know, it's not a real personal thing, but Charles Krauthammer died, who was a brilliant mind that used to be on Fox News, you know. And it feels like the old days are kind of gone. I mean, Fox News used to actually be entertaining to watch. It was brilliant minds discussing, you know, complex topics. You have like the Bill O'Reillys of the world who've been crushed and destroyed by the Saul Alinsky method or technique. A prime example is we've got this week. I was watching this week, today and yesterday. So you've got this issue going on with immigration, where there are literally, apparently, see, here's the thing. They say children are being ripped away from their parents. This is the lead line, right? This is how they're purporting it to us, right? But the fact of the matter is, if you as an adult get arrested, you know, your kids don't get to go to jail with you. That's number one. Number two is a huge quantity of these kids that they're showing are coming in illegally by themselves. Their parents are sending them up. They're not coming in with their parents. And, you know, so that's a deception too. And number three is they're using propaganda information, showing these kids crying and locked in cages and all this garbage, which isn't true. However, Trump did respond to it and made, you know, change the law so that they don't get, so families aren't getting torn apart, which, folks, if you think about it, when you do that, you're technically, what you're doing is you're creating a refugee crisis. Okay. So basically what happens is now the reason the left doesn't like this is because, it's very uncomfortable to come to the United States illegally. And what I mean by that is, in the past until now, your family could be torn apart. Technically, your kids would go one way, the adults would go another, you know, and unfortunately we retain you here in the United States and prosecute, which I get a little bit, but I don't get. It's like we need, you know, these people need to go away. They need to be deported back to where they came from or whatever. But what they've done now is they've made it comfortable for these people to bring their kids. If you think about it, so now they're together. So it'll become like a refugee crisis. So it's like, come to America illegally with your kids. You can stay together as a family. And then what happens is you'll get put in these, it's technically going to become refugee camps. Okay. And then we're going to have so darn many of these people. I mean, I do not understand the logic of the left. Why? Well, yes, I do. I'm sorry. I know why. The reason that they want all these people here is very simple. They want to convert them into voters. They want to give them amnesty and get all of these left-wing Democrat voters to destroy our nation. Folks, is that not scary a little bit? Just a tad? It scares me. I mean, you think of the fact that, you know, all these people, they're not citizens. They haven't gone through, you know, do they really care? I remember clear back in, a long time ago, when I was working a few different jobs, and one in particular I worked was with the U.S. Department of Agriculture, and I was a grain sampler, real important position. That was a college position I had in the summer. And I remember having that, and then I also worked as the U.S. Department of Agriculture with a different level of, in the chemistry lab and out in the wheat fields. And I don't even remember, it's been so long. So I was a grain sampler, and, that included everything from pulling grain off of big cargo, train cars and sampling it to, you know, walking around fields and sampling that and working in the chemistry labs and everything. So I had a lot of experience supposedly in the wheat industry, which is, I can't even remember anything about it, but I used to know a lot about wheat. And I also understand why the gluten issue is so hot. And that's because back in the 50s, a guy won a Nobel Peace Prize for creating a new form of wheat that grew like a weed, basically, and was bigger and thicker and heavier. And it's a heavy gluten product. So as time goes on, it grows and grows and grows. And the gluten content gets higher and higher. That's why all these people, and by the way, people, I mean, I'm not gluten-free or anything, but people who say, oh, gluten's bad, they're right, I think. I mean, you know, I think wheat in general is made for grain to feed animals. I mean, we put it in our breads and stuff like that. It just seems, I don't know, I won't get into that diet stuff, but anyway, so what you've got is, when I worked in these environments, is I had people. In one case in the 80s, I had an Iranian and an Iraqi working together, and while they were at war with each other, and they were trash talking me big time. And I said, "What is with you guys? You know, you guys are enemies, and yet you're trash talking America." They were both getting their PhDs on the American dime. This is clear back in the 80s. They were getting their PhDs on the American dime while they trash talked our country. And they said, in Islam, and I knew nothing about it back then, they said, in Islam, we are like brothers. We are fighting amongst ourselves. In other words, the Iran and Iraq war. But when it comes to you, he says, America, you are the great white Satan, he says. And that was like, wow, wake up call. I was like, what? I hadn't heard that term before. So that was one. There was another guy from South America there who had a whole slew of family who was on welfare here, who'd come to America, and they were all getting these degrees. And, you know, there's a welfare system. If you really want, you know, you can get on the college welfare program. You can literally be on welfare and be going to college and getting your PhD at the same time. I mean, to me, it's just foolish, okay? So there's this guy I was talking to, and I said, you know, the problem is you didn't build this country. It's like you don't appreciate it and all that stuff. And he said, no, we don't, but he admitted it. But he said, you know, the nice thing is, he goes, I said, you know, what happens? I said, if everyone did what you did, where they pour into a country and take all the assets and all the resources and not contribute anything back, I said, where do you end up? I said, you end up bankrupt. And he said, yeah, and then we go back to our home country. And I said, so you never would consider America your home country? No. And then we had this conversation where, you know, they have a different heart and a different spirit towards it. If they're not from here, they don't care. I mean, they really, do you really think they care if we go bankrupt? No, of course not. But do they want free handouts? You betcha. So who are they going to vote for if they get, well, by the way, they already vote illegally, but if they actually get permission to vote, can you imagine? I mean, folks, this is America, man. We're teetering on the edge right now. And if they, you know, you get amnesty to all these people, you've got so much going on in this country. I'm going to touch on a few things here in a minute. You can't even believe it, okay? So then here's the new, the new old thing, okay? So I don't know how many of you have heard The Rules for Radicals by Saul Alinsky. I discussed it last week. So back in the 60s or 70s or something, This Saul Alinsky, 1971, he wrote this manual political warfare, rules for radicals. Okay. And, it's scary because it is the opposite of God. It's exactly the opposite of what God would do. It's unbiblical. It's backwards. And what it does, I mean, it's just everything. The rules are undoubtedly, it's just purely unbiblical. And if you look at them, it's not, you know, power is not what you have, but what the enemy thinks you have. Okay, so that's true, but it's also a deception. Number two, never go outside the expertise of your people. And then he goes, it results in confusion, fear, and retreat. Feeling secure adds to the backbone of anyone. So one thing he's saying is, you know, you don't want to learn. You don't go outside the expertise of your people. As a lefty, he's like, you don't want to learn, right? He's got activists. I mean, he basically started, it's how to be a powerful activist. And he basically wrote a book and said, here's how you be a powerful activist. You don't go out the expertise of your people. You don't want to learn. You don't want to know more. You know what happens with people, folks, over time? You know, it's like someone said, you know, not that I agree with the saying, but they say, if you're young and you're not liberal, you don't have a heart. If you're old and you're not conservative, you don't have a brain. And it's, I don't agree with it if you're young and you're not liberal, but the fact of the matter is, as you gain more knowledge in life, as you become wiser, you know, you're going to become more conservative. It just, because why? Because where does wisdom come from? The Bible. From God, right? So truth is, as you gain wisdom, true wisdom, not the worldly foolishness, but true wisdom, you are going to become more godly and more conservative. It's just a fact. So he's saying don't do that. Whenever possible, he says go outside the expertise of the enemy. Of course, you know, that's the left. You ever watch the left wing, you know, when they debate and they spin, I call it plate spinning, where they, you know, they have like 11 different plates spinning and you're trying to talk to them and you can't pin them down on anything and they move the topic all over the place and they'll never settle down on any one thing. Folks, that's intentional, obviously, but it's just deception. It's not seeking the truth. I mean, when we live for God, we love God, we want the truth. It is weird to me. I'll tell you what blows my mind is how many born-again believers out there are liberal, left-winging, you know, crazies. I mean, I hate to say it, but, you know, that they'll vote for Obama, they'll vote for abortion, and they'll say, well, it's not my choice, it's someone else's choice. Oh, okay, well, whose choice is it? You know, was it nobody's choice when Hitler decided to kill all the Jews? I mean, were we supposed to just sit back? I mean, that's the biggest farce of all, is it's like, oh, that's their thing. One thing that happened here in town, this is a long time ago, but it really stuck with me. Back in the 90s, there's a guy downtown named Steve Baldwin. And he had a coin shop, and it was like called Panorex or something like that in Spokane. And he got in trouble for, I think he had safe deposit boxes, and he stole a bunch of stuff. And then he also, I don't know what all he did. He was money laundering or something. I don't know. But anyway, he went to jail or prison for like 4 years. And, well, he stole a bunch of people's money. And he went to prison for like 4 years. And when he got out, a guy I know up at American Coin financed him to get him going. And I said, why are you doing that? And he said, well, he never stole from me. And I just thought, you know, to me, right's right, wrong's wrong. You do what's right. You stick to your guns. You live for what's right. You do the right thing. It doesn't, you don't say, oh, well, he didn't steal from me. Or you don't say, you know, maybe they're aborting babies, but I'm not, so it's okay. So it's their choice. If wrong, I mean, wrong is wrong is wrong. Okay, so that's just where you stand. If you all that's necessary, as they say, for evil to prevail is for good men to do nothing. So you don't sit back and let evil prevail, folks. You don't do it, okay? You just don't. you need to stand up. If you don't, one thing I find often enough is you get people who will actually have the opportunity to stand up and they won't do it. And they'll use some lame duck excuse, which is, I mean, it's lame. It's lame. It's like, oh, I misunderstood or this or that. But folks, there's just a time we're called to stand up for what's right and what's true. And it isn't going to always be comfortable. And, you know, you just pray to God to give you strength and the words to say, and you do the right thing. And I think God honors it. I personally think God honors it. That's just my opinion. I think that as you live your life the right way and you work hard and you do the right thing, I believe that God will honor you and that he sees all the good you've done. And not that, you know, he's going to be impressed with, ooh, look at how great Kevin is, but more just knowing that you're there, you know, to serve him, that he's important to you. And so many people have so many struggles in life, folks. I mean, it's tough. I mean, life can be great and it can be tough. And, you know, we all go through every form of everything. There's times we have cancer and, you know, all kinds of family stuff and, you know, relational issues and money stuff. And, you know, people, life can be tough. It's really interesting to me how we're born on this earth and we spend our whole life in development. I mean, we're basically in development the entire time we're on this earth. You know, we start as a child and we begin to develop and then we just continue to develop and into adulthood. It's just interesting to me that God has us in a constant state of development. And then some of us get off the road and we get caught up in all kinds of stuff. You know, there's a percentage of people that end up in prison, which is an awful waste of a lot of lives. There's, you know, as you and I both know, there's probably a lot of people in prison that don't belong there and plenty that do. But, you know, there's nonviolent crime and violent crime, and there's people who struggle and people who don't. And, you know, it's just it's tough. You know, it's just the world we live in. So anyway, Saul Alinsky's out there. You know, do they think they're changing the world and making it a better place? I don't think so. I mean, they're making it a radical battle, okay? I mean, there's always someone, Lucifer, constantly fighting to break away from tradition, to break away from God and the Bible and what's good and right and true. And that's what Lucifer does. That's Lucifer tears things down and he tears them apart. And shockingly enough, Rules for Radicals is dedicated to Lucifer himself. So, you know, if that ain't enough to tell you what it's about. Now, you might think, well, big deal. Well, big deal is Hillary Clinton did her PhD thesis on this guy. Okay, so he's that significant. So it's not just a guy that just happens to be, you know, dedicating his life and his work to Lucifer. He's a guy who has a profoundly strong impact on the existence of the left-wing radical movement of today. So Alinsky acknowledges Lucifer in what, you know, he says, lest we forget, I think this is it, or it says, lest we forget at least an over-the-shoulder acknowledgement to the very first radical. Now listen to this. He's saying, you know, let's all have a toast to the very first true radical. He goes, from all our legends, mythology, and history, and who is to know where mythology leaves off and history begins, or which is which? The first radical known to man who rebelled against the establishment and did so effectively that he at least won his own kingdom was Lucifer. And so he goes on and dedicates his book to Lucifer. Because after all, he says, you know, this guy is so great. That's some pretty scary stuff, folks, to be candid with you. Am I right? I think I am. So, you know, I can go through, there's a whole bunch of stuff here, I'm not going to do it. But I'll touch real quick on Alinsky's stuff here. We'll finish, we'll wrap this up. this part. Ridicule, he says. Now, here's where it gets where one thing he's got. Number four, make the enemy live up to its own book of rules. And, you know, he says, if the rule is that every letter gets a reply, send 30,000 letters. You can kill them with this because no one can possibly obey all their own rules. I don't get that. I mean, but it's just, it's Lucifer, right? I mean, rules for radicals. Again, folks, remember, this is at the core of what we're fighting right now. This is how they fight. This is where they fight. Why am I saying this? The Secretary of the Department of Homeland Security, Kristen, whatever her name is, has been attacked first in a restaurant, then at her home this morning. Which is, so you get these left-winging radicals screaming and yelling and hollering and hooting with blowhorns in the morning in front of her house because they're holding her responsible for these children being torn away from their parents, okay? And then you have all this video, you know, you have all these video coverages, you know, where they say this is the case and here's an example. And, you know, there's like this Honduran father of a two-year-old who became the face of, you know, this family separation crisis. And then it comes out today, he says, my daughter was never separated. Our daughter was never separated from her mother. He said the image of her tears at the U.S. border control broke his heart that they abused that way. He said he spoke out about the status. He said, you know, she became the face of this crisis after you know, they just took this picture and just basically changed the whole story is basically what he was getting at. And so it's a lie. You know, it's all a great, big, good old-fashioned lie. And that's the left. So that's CNN. You know, they always say fake news. Well, it is fake news. It's terrible fake news. They do a terrible job of putting out this filthy trash. I mean, it's just a fact of life. It's just, I don't know why. But they do. They put out garbage. They put out trash. They put out junk. And then they never have any accountability. Nobody wants to hold them accountable. And it's just, give me a break. So, you know, that kind of stuff's what's going on. But the reason that I was, you know, I can go into detail on that, but I won't. The reason that I'm talking about the rules for radicals is because it's about personal attack. It's about attacking the person, not about attacking an organization or an issue. It's dissecting people. It's pulling them apart. When people are united, they're strong. When they're divided, they fall. And so the left, what they'll do is they'll attack an individual who's out having dinner, you know, and they'll sit there with, like I said, a blowhorn in their ear while they're trying to eat dinner. And see, to me, that's a form of abuse, okay? That's a form of assault. If someone puts a blowhorn in your ear at 128 decibels or whatever it is, that's assault. That person at that point, I would think, would have a right to, you know, defend themselves. But, of course, you know, freedom of speech. Freedom of speech does not apply to being rude and obnoxious on private property. What's really bad is the slowness with which the police will often respond. One thing, I won't even get into this. I had this issue a while ago, a few months ago, where I actually got road raged by a guy. And I don't know, it's just been so hard to even get the 911 copies of the calls. And it's just, you know, if anybody has any pull with the Washington State Patrol, give me a call. I need a little assistance on something, but, anyway, well, that was a very quick tangential move of mine. So I'm looking through Drudge, you know, cities see spike in cheating spouses. You know, Canada uses massive U.S. anti-terrorist database at borders, you know, on and on and on, just really nice, good stuff. Right. So evangelicals back. Self-styled top what? Oh, in age of Trump, evangelicals back self-styled top U.S. pimp. Whatever that means. I don't know. That's just some fine news, isn't it? Just some wonderful, lovely news. Jeff Sessions on the Bible and his critics. You know, we got Jeff Sessions, our secretary. What is he? U.S. Attorney General. He, you know, he made some comment about, you know, scripture. He quoted scripture. And so, of course, they say he says, you know, the United States has laws, and I believe that Paul was clear in Romans that we should try to follow the laws of government of which we are a part. That's his view. And then people came out and said, then he said, Sessions alluded to the Bible again when he talked about the morality of immigration law. He said, I believe strongly that it is moral, decent, and just for a nation to have a lawful system of immigration. Sessions said, I'm not aware of a single nation in the world that does not have some sort of rules about who can enter and who cannot enter. I believe there is biblical support for that too, which is interesting because he, you know, I don't totally agree with Jeff Sessions, but I think the same way. I think, you know, the Bible to me is the ultimate final filter. I mean, God is true. God is just. God is right. You know, I know who he is. Thank God, you know, and through ups and downs and sideways and struggles, I need him. I live for him. I love him, and life is all about him. And I want everything that I say, do, or believe to make it through the filter of his word. And that's what we want to be. So let me just circle back and try to wrap this up a little quicker. Basically, what I was saying a few minutes ago is that there was the protesters against the Secretary of the Homeland Security? Let's see if I can find this. So let's see what her name was. Protests confront U.S. Homeland Security Secretary. So Secretary Kirstjen Nielsen's home in Virginia. So first of all, they attack her in a restaurant, okay? And then they come to her home early in the morning, and they're standing out front with, you know, immigrants are hashtag here to stay. They're calling her a child snatcher. And, you know, folks, this is just yuck. I mean, I just hate it. I hate this spirit. I hate this. It's really bothering me, and I'm going to talk about some stuff here. I better leave myself some time. I hate it. I just hate it. It's like, you know, these guys that think, like this one guy at this protest at her home at, you know, what, 5 a.m. or whatever it was, which, you know, is a tight little part of town and all the neighbors are getting woken up and, you know, reunite children with their parents now. And you got all these great big, you know, ignoramuses that, you know, with honestly looking at the picture of these great big people with purple hair and, you know, you name it. They don't know all the details of how things get like this. And then, so you get Donald Trump who comes back and he says, okay, fine, we'll fix it. It's a mess. We're sorry. It wasn't right. You know? Oh, and then they say, they don't say good for him. You know, I mean, just the fact that he listens to it, he hears it, he finds out the truth and then he deals with it. Isn't that what it's all about? Do you really think that, you know, I mean, it came to his attention, right? And then he dealt with it. So what more do you want? But it's never enough, is it? It's never, ever enough. That is the problem with the left. It is never enough. They are never satisfied. They will never concede. And they reach out for personal attack. That is why I was talking about Saul Alinsky's rules for radicals. Folks, this is what we're facing. This is where we're going. You know, and just to keep going, he says, number five, ridicule is man's most potent weapon. There is no defense. It's irrational. It's infuriating. It also works as a key pressure point to force the enemy into concessions. Into concessions. Not into positive change. Into concessions. Just constant ridicule. They isolate the individual. They attack and destroy the individual. I mean, look at this snarky, nasty media trash that even Trump puts up with. I mean, it's just terrible, right? This stuff has been resurrected, taught in our schools. So what's going on? There's something here I'm going to talk about real quick. I better get going because I want to explain something with the money stuff. A good tactic, he says, is one your people enjoy. Well, I don't know why they'd enjoy destroying personal lives, but apparently they do. He says a tactic that drags on too long becomes a drag. And then he goes on to keep the pressure on, never let up. Keep trying new things to keep the opposition off balance. As the opposition masters one approach, hit them with a flank, hit them from the flank with something new. I mean, this stuff, ugh, you know, this is Luciferian. This is absolutely the spirit of coming to steal, kill, and destroy, not to defeat properly. Now, it's guerrilla warfare. Is there a time and a place for guerrilla warfare in life? You bet your sweet tail there is. But I'll tell you what, our founders technically used guerrilla warfare, our founders, to defend this nation. There was a time and a place for that, for sure. But this, you know, some of this stuff's just like, look, you know, I mean, this personal ridicule and attacks, just too much. And he goes on, and, you know, keep the pressure on, never let up. The threat is more terrifying than the thing itself. He says, imagination and ego can dream up many more consequences than it can any activist. So basically, you just terrify people so bad that their worst fears come true. And we're all kind of like that, aren't we? I mean, because we know really ourselves. We know what our fears are. We know what we've done. And, you know, so, but you think about everything about the Bible and how the Bible is about edifying and building up and encouraging one another, right? I mean, you think we're reading this kind of stuff from Saul Alinsky's Rules for Radicals, and then you have, you know, Joshua, be strong and courageous, do not be frightened and do not be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. And 2 Timothy, for God gave us a spirit not of fear, but of power and love and self-control. I mean, this is, you know, delight yourself in the Lord and he'll give you the desires of your heart. That's one of my favorites. I lift up my eyes to the hills. This is Psalms 121. From where does my help come? My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. He will not let your foot be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade on your right hand. God loves us, folks. When we turn our lives over to him, he's our keeper. Therefore, I tell you, whatever you ask in prayer, believe that you have received it, and it will be yours. You hear that? Mark 11. Therefore, I tell you, whatever you ask in prayer, believe that you have received it, and it will be yours. Proverbs 30. Every word of God proves true. He is a shield to those who take refuge in him. Psalms 34, I sought the Lord and he answered and delivered me from all my fears. Psalms 28, the Lord is my strength and my shield. In him my heart trusts and I am helped. My heart exults and with my song I give thanks to him. This is God, right? I can do all things through him who strengthens me. How about, you know, the Lord is my strength and my shield. In him my heart trusts and I am helped. My heart exults and with my song I give thanks to him. Cast your burden on the Lord. He'll sustain you. He'll never permit the righteous to be moved. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans for welfare, not for evil, to give you a future and a hope. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit you may abound in hope. And on and on and on it goes. Okay, that's God. Then we got Saul Alinsky, like, you know, threaten them, destroy them, undermine them, you know, terrify them, go to their house, ruin their lives, personal ridicule. And then he starts out and saying, you know, the devil is the greatest, the first rebel, and blah, blah, blah. So you get the point, right? He says, the major premise for tactics is the development of operations that will maintain a constant pressure upon the opposition. If you push a negative hard enough, it will push through and become a positive. Folks, we see this in the media all the time. I mean, we see this in the media where this just, I don't get it, but negativity, they make up a fake story. How about something like, let's just say, Russia collusion? Let's just say they did something like that. I mean, that is a negative, correct? A very, very negative, dishonest, unethical story. So what happens? Oh, it becomes a positive. What? How's that? Well, it is because it is. It just does because it does. And I don't know what more to tell you than that. It's just what happens. So it comes through, and it's just, it's kind of like tell a lie long enough and make it big enough, and pretty soon people believe it and all that. Joseph Goebbels and all that. Then he's got this stuff about, so we've got you push a negative hard enough, and it'll push through and become a positive. And he says violence from the other side can win the public to your side because the public sympathizes with the underdog. So basically, he's also saying, you know, antagonize them, make them fight you. And then he says the price of a successful attack is a constructive alternative. The price of a successful attack is a constructive alternative. Never let the enemy score points because you're caught without a solution to the problem. In other words, don't ever admit you're wrong. Don't ever concede. Don't ever give in. Don't ever compromise. The last one, he says, rules for radicals, Saul Alinsky. Pick the target, freeze it, personalize it, and polarize it. Cut off the support network and isolate people or the target from sympathy. Go after people and individuals, not institutions. People hurt faster than institutions. So he's telling you, go. You know, if you don't agree with something that somebody or a company is doing, just go after a person. Pick a person, destroy their lives. And you know how that liberal arrogance is. They just get that chip. And when they see that stuff, I don't know. Does it make them feel good when they see people hurting or personal? Do they ever give them a chance? The big game that gets played now, I feel like, is that they never give them a chance to really deal with stuff. People don't tend to respond to things immediately. I mean, before Trump dealt with this stuff at the border, you know, he was probably getting fed a pack of lies. If there are kids being torn away from their parents, that's not a good situation. The problem is we don't want refugee camps, and we shouldn't have to have them. I don't, you know, we really shouldn't have to handle them like refugees. Folks, America's not going to be America for long. I mean, the transition is just taking place right now. I mean, it just is. It just is, right? So, anyway, you got my point there. Be prepared. I mean, be prepared. That, you know, really the bottom line is, let's talk a little bit about that. Okay, here's reasons, just some general reasons why, okay, despite, you know, oh, the economy is booming and everything's great and everybody's happy and life is good and, you know, and blah, blah, blah in America and it's all wonderful, right? It's all peaches and cream. And so, you know, you should be buying all more stock and you know, and people are like, gee, I wonder if this supposed market boom is going to continue on. And it's like, really? You wonder that. I was just talking to my accountant yesterday, and I said, Mark, I said, if this was going on in Guatemala, or I said, another country, whatever the country, I said, if I said, hey, the stock market of, you know, like Portugal or whatever, I'm invested in it, and it's gone up 50% in the last year. What should I do? The answer is get out now. Okay. So everyone who's anyone knows a correction's coming. There's no question. There's no question. It's just a matter of when. But here's some reasons in addition to that. Why would you want to shift your money into metals? Let's think about it. The consumer, okay, who is 70% of our gross domestic product, is maxed out on debt, okay? The consumer is maxed out on debt. We are maxed out on debt. Now, here's something that I don't like. Donald J. Trump's new tax plan. Any interest paid on mortgages over $750,000 are no longer tax deductible, okay? You used to be able to have a few houses and some lines of credit and to run businesses and do different things where it was deductible. So he's limited that and the interest rate. And he's eliminated the ability to write off interest or, tax, real estate taxes and things like that. So he's made that no longer a possibility. So you're super limited in what you can write off for tax, for deductible mortgage interest, okay? But the consumer is maxed out on debt. If they have a job, basically the consumer who is 70% of the gross domestic product is maxed out on debt. If they have a job, they won't even have access to money. And they're going to want to incur more debt. I mean, debt is where we're at right now, folks. And this is one huge problem. One of the biggest issues is our debt is backed by garbage. I mean, we don't have, you know, I was in banking for years. And I mean, there back then when I was learning, there was debt and, you know, but it was collateralized. I mean, we went from, you know, I mean, if someone had an uncollateralized loan, it'd be for a few thousand. And then, we've changed America to the point where some of these banks are stretched so thin on these guys. It's crazy. There was a guy, Mark Yaffe, down in Florida that was in the gold business. He owned National Gold, and he was doing obviously pretty well. And he'd put like $26 million. He had a $50 million line of credit for precious metals. And he put $26 million of that into a house, which, you know, the market turned on him and it went south. And he lost it all. And, you know, it's just a terrible, terrible situation. But it was secured by nothing. And he walked away with metal and everything else. And I don't know. It's a pretty sad situation. So basically, here's some reasons why you should be in metals. Okay. The consumer, like I said, is maxed out in debt. Okay, you're all maxed out in debt. That includes student loans, car loans, credit card debt. It's just who we are, right? We're leveraged to the neck, okay, to the gills. Number two, the real estate market is getting ready for another significant stress to the system from the resets of Alt-A and ARM mortgages, adjustable rate mortgages, okay? It's getting ready to do another thing. And the other problem is we've had this recent surge in real estate prices. I mean, they've gone, the middle of the road home has gone up 50%. I mean, it's jumped like crazy. So homes that were 270 are now 390 just in 2 years, at least in Spokane. But I've talked to people in other areas, and this is happening everywhere. So, you know, we've got this big stretch. People's income hasn't gone up. So what do they have? They have a little more equity in their home. What'll they do? Borrow against it. Folks, we got hyperinflation going on. It's scary. Okay. So our consumers, we're in debt up to our neck. Now, the bottom line is, folks, when the market adjusts or corrects or whatever you want to call it, those who are in debt go under. Those who own metals will stay solid. You just get gold and silver. You know, you just put a portion of your holdings in it. You just stay solid. You just want to, you know, I can't believe some of the people I know that don't have metal and some that do. I mean, you should have some. And folks, do business locally. In fact, I've been talking about it, you know, online reviews, we appreciate. You want a silver dollar, a silver coin, a silver Morgan, you know, go give us a Google positive 5-star Google review. Make sure you show on there the that you've done business with us or whatever. And then you call and you contact like Mike, and then we'll get you the coin. Okay, that's number one. If you want two coins, to go to three. So you do a review like on Google Bing and Yahoo or something like that. 5-star positives. Just saying you appreciate, you know, good experience, whatever it is. It helps us. It really is important and it helps us and we need it. And appreciate it. And, you know, just mention that you've done business. That's all you got to do. And that you enjoyed it or however it went. Right. But that's obviously, you can review it however you want, but if you want a silver dollar and we want a positive, that's just pretty obvious. So it's there. It's available for you. Please do so. remember one silver coin for like Google, and then two silver coins if you do like Google Bing and Yahoo or whatever. Really important to us, folks. It's just, it's the only way we can get people to know who we are and to have a reputation that's respectable. It's not easy, especially with, we do so much business and we get so few people that respond. So anyway, appreciate you doing that. I'm talking about, why would you move into metals? Why would you keep a significant portion of your money in a foundational product like metals? Okay, folks, it really is that simple. It's just, you just want to build a foundation. You want a solid base under you. You want a solid base holding you up. Precious metals are that base. They are biblically attributed and authorized, endorsed, created by God. It's an element that's a big deal. Why? I don't know. Genesis chapter 1, God creates the earth and everything, the heavens, amazing, magnificent, to the point where he knows by now there's 8 billion people on earth, and he knows the number of hairs on everybody's head. Folks, I mean, what? I don't know. He's big, right? So he's that big of a deal. And then the second thing he mentions in Genesis 2, he mentions gold, and he says where it's at and how to go get it. And he tells us it's in the land of Havilah, which means low sandy land. Isn't that interesting? That gold was in the low sandy land. And now we, you know, that's pre-flood. Post-flood, we find it in the mountains and everywhere else. You know, who knows? Tectonic plate shifting. I think there's a lot of evidence of kingdoms being built on mountaintops that were just utterly devastated in the flood, perhaps. I don't know. I've heard that theory, and it's been laid out by one guy very well, very interestingly. Either way, it doesn't matter. Bottom line is, God says gold is good. And then the economics of the whole world begin, and then there goes the whole world. I mean, economics has continued ever since. Money has been there. Money is there. Gold and silver have been money. Now, just because we have fiat currency, I mean, fiat currency, folks, is the American Heritage Dictionary defines fiat money as, quote, paper money decreed legal tender, not backed by gold or silver. The two characteristics of, and now I'm past the definition, but, you know, the two characteristics of fiat money are, one, it does not represent anything of intrinsic value, and two, it's decreed as legal tender. That means it's just worth something because someone says it is. Legal tender simply means there's a law requiring everyone to accept the currency in commerce. That's what legal tender means. It just means that legally you have to take it. That's fiat currency. The two always go together, okay, because since the money really is worthless, it would be rejected by the public in favor of a more reliable medium of exchange like gold or silver, unless it was legally, you know, unless you were legally required to take it. So when a government issues fiat money, they always declare it to be legal tender under pain of fine or imprisonment. The only way a government can exchange its worthless paper money for tangible goods and services is to give its citizens no choice. Right? That makes sense? So essentially, that's where we're at. That's what your money, that's what your wealth is in right now. If you are in, I don't care if you're in an annuity or nothing. Folks, think about it. Everything you have, you've got two choices. One, metals. God said it is, it is. Always has been, always will be, all the way to heaven, right? All the way, you know, Book of Revelation, all the way Christ's first gift on earth. Money, 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 money. That's what it is. That's true wealth, period. People say, well, I want to get my money. I want to buy this much gold or this much silver in case all hell breaks loose and all that. No, that's not. That's one side effect. That's one benefit. But you just want money. You want real money. You want what God said. It's real money. At least that's what I want. And not fiat currency, because man says it is. I mean, it feels really weird to have a lot of cash sitting around in this business sometimes. I don't feel right. The first thing I do is turn it back into gold so I know I've got God's money. And I'm not going to argue with you, and I'm not going to say it doesn't go, you know, gold doesn't go up and go down, and all of a sudden, you know, now the dollar's stronger and, you know, and it drives this down. You know, folks, every time they keep that thing moving, everybody's making money. Not everybody. The people on Wall Street are, okay? So basically, let's just keep touching on this stuff. So the banking system, right? The real estate market's getting ready to turn around or to take a dump, to be frank. And all the real estate starts, all this stuff has frozen up and no one wants to admit it. And the left wants an economic collapse to get Trump out of there. They think the only reason he's in there is because the economy is good. Folks, that's sick and sad, isn't it? I mean, I've heard them say this stuff. It's pretty sad. The banking system, the very structure of our fractional reserve banking system allows for loans made from debt in excess of assets. When this leverage is coupled with the irresponsible lending in mortgages, auto loans, credit card derivatives, student loans, so on, it makes the case for caution easy, obvious. I've got, you know, the primer on banking and money. You got barter, commodity, whatever. The bottom line is our banking system is tapped. The structure of our fractional reserve system's broken. That means that, first of all, they make money out of thin air. Every dollar they make gets deposited, and then they can loan out nine times more that, nine times of that amount. You know, I can go on and on. You don't need to be a rocket scientist to know that doesn't work. Now, just because the big crash isn't tomorrow afternoon at 3 doesn't mean that you shouldn't just be wise. Just be wise. If you just want precious metals or whatever, just get in here and get them. I mean, it's what we do. We'll help you out. We'll set you up. Like I said, they'll go up, they'll go down, but at least you'll have it. And don't sit around. You know what the biggest fools do? They go look at a stock or something, and they go, I could have had that last April of 2012, and today it'd be worth this. No, you can't. You can't hindsight time stuff. You don't go back and go, well, if I'd have bought that on that day, it'd be worth this today. You wouldn't have bought it that day. And also, don't tell yourself you would have, because you were dreaming of that and everything else every day. The other thing is, when you go to, you know, when they show you where it was on a graph, isn't where it was. There's always bids and asks and all that. I've been through all this with the metals and coins. I mean, I know what's what in general. And I mean, the truth is, you got to hedge yourself both ways. You got to say, okay, well, if I would have bought that realistically, I probably would have bought, 20% over the low and sold 20% below the high. I mean, that's just what people do. So don't lie to yourself. And even if you would, you shouldn't be in it for greed and get rich quick scheme anyway. You should just be preserving and protecting your assets, saving your wealth. Buy precious metals. They are what they are. I mean, they're simple. They preserve and protect. And I don't understand why people can lose everything they have in paper and feel okay about it and buy precious metals and have it go down 5% and just harp and moan and gripe and complain about it. I don't get it. I also don't get why people pay big premiums for precious metals products that you can get without the premium on it in a different form. In other words, like old silver coins or silver dollars. Right now, folks, silver dollars, I mean, if you got 10, 20, 30,000, just get, we've got a bunch of loose, common, various, and some little better date silver dollars. It's a good way to just save your money and put it aside. You can give us a call. We'll get you set up. We do this stuff every day, portfolio building. It's what we do. Just let us help you out. 401ks and IRAs, folks, we roll them over all the time. Just get gold and silver. And don't go falling for online stuff, folks. Don't waste your time. You listen to us on the radio. Do business with us, please. So our fractional reserve system is an issue. We've got it. People have completely forgotten about the derivatives market. It's it's so far into the quadrillions. It's multiples greater than the market value of the publicly traded companies, all of them in the world. There's threats there I won't even get into. The crux, we've got another credit crisis it's not a liquidity crisis. It's a crisis of leveraged, worthless assets. there's nothing of value in the credit crisis. Okay, I mean there's nothing. It's backed by what? Student loans, trillion plus dollars in student loans. How about $1 trillion plus in credit card debt? Is that a good asset? Is that a good collateral? We've got trillions of dollars in unsecured assets. If you don't know, I'm going to tell you a secret. That's a problem from being an old banker. It's just unsecured debt. It'll blow. Folks, I don't want to just sit here and be doom and gloom. All I'm telling you, be smart. Just own solid assets. Just buy what God said, gold and silver. Buy precious metals-based assets, period. I mean, I'm sorry, same story every day. You know, I've heard these guys selling these stupid annuities, and I mean, it's just a scandal. Folks, if you even knew why, it's a psychology. You know, we've got this fiat currency system, and we think if Bob Jones says, I'm a certified financial planner, and you need, is your money in a good, safe spot, and you need this, and you need that, and you know, what about annuities, and what about that, and folks, it is highway robbery. It is, skew the term, but rape. It's rape. But no, it can't be. You go give your money to these guys on paper and you just get toasted, and it doesn't, and people just swallow it and move on. I see it too often. It ain't good. Okay. Let us build you a portfolio. At least we can build you something that'll grow. We got some cool stuff too. I'm out of time, or I'd go further. But we got a credit crisis. It's obvious. We're seeing a ton of misinformation. We got fake news up the wazoo. You like that term? That's a real biblical term, right? Fake news has just twisted the world around. We're living on the propaganda merry-go-round. People listen to this garbage. They believe it. That's terrifying to me, isn't it? That they can just spin lies, and those lies prove to be lies, and guess what? Nobody matters. No one cares. So, thanks again for tuning in, folks. Give us a call. Let us take care of you. 444-0044. Take care. God bless. Bye-bye. See you Wednesday. Bye-bye. Or Monday.